The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
Glad to have you with us on Hometown Radio. I'm Dave Congleton. This hour, we go once again into the national headlines. The Supreme Court heard arguments on Monday, as in yesterday, over whether fining or arresting unhoused people, what we call homeless people, who lack other shelter and camp in public areas, violates constitutional protections against cruel and unusual punishments. It is the most important Supreme Court case about homelessness in 40 years, advocates say, and has the potential to affect much broader policy. A decision siding with the Oregon town at the center of the case could allow officials in California or elsewhere to fine and arrest homeless people sleeping outside with as little as a blanket. So this is the case of the city of Grants Pass in Oregon, city of Grants Pass versus Johnson. Always good to be in conversation with attorney Stu Jenkins. So pleased that he was able to join us this afternoon on short notice. Stu has a long background in championing civil liberties and representing homeless people. And why am I talking when Stu is here? Stu, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Nice to see you.
Thanks for that.
You listened to the oral argument, and you've got the printout of the...
Well, I brought the transcript.
Transcript.
I'll leave it with you if you want to read it. This is one of the most important cases in 40 years. And, you know, there's cases going all the way back to Earls versus California, where California made it illegal to import impoverished people into the state of California during the Depression, and made that a crime, and arrested the Earl, who had come here with no means of support and was looking for work. We have a checkered history on these kinds of issues. But I think some background is probably a good idea for
sure.
Listeners. Grants Pass, of course, is a small town, and it's in a place which I would say is kind of cold.
Southern Oregon.
Yeah, but it's a little more to the east, okay. As I recall. And so, you know, if you're sleeping outside at night, you're going to die in the cold if you don't have a blanket. And this town made it a crime. They called it camping if you were sleeping and had a blanket. At least that's what I had gathered from the arguments. If you look at the background, when you pull facts out of the arguments, they had a church-run shelter, and it had 100 beds, and there were at least 600 homeless people in Grants Pass. And so there is no way that this shelter could actually accommodate all of the people who are homeless. And I believe some of the figures that came out were that 80% of the people in Grants Pass who were homeless were raised there.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they were coming to Grants Pass from other places.
Similar here. Most of the homeless here are from here.
That's true. And so I think it was a very spirited discussion, and I'm not sure how the Supreme Court is going to come out on it, but this is in the wake of the Boise decision. Boise, Idaho had also tried to criminalize homelessness, and the way they did it was they criminalized sitting or standing or sleeping on sidewalks or in parks. And of course, anybody who looks at this, putting those folks in jail does not solve the problem.
Yeah, because they're homeless.
And
what are they going to do?
If they're going to be there for By the way, the lawyer for Grant's Pass was from Los Angeles, California, and she was arguing that they needed this tool, and she kept trying to say, well, you know, these are just small fines, the short periods of time in jail. And of course, what's going to happen is if you have somebody who's living on $300 of general relief, a $50 or $100 fine is going to mean they can't eat that month.
Just let me tack on to what you were saying before. Up in Grants Pass, as you mentioned, one overnight shelter for adults, 138 beds. It's the Gospel Rescue Mission.
Yes.
It has a Christian focus, no pets, and required attendance at daily religious services twice every day.
And let's pretend that we know that those are Christian services, and that's a wonderful thing have available. But let's suppose you have a homeless person who is Jewish, or who follows the Muslim faith, or is a Buddhist, they're required. This is essentially establishment of a religion by a city authority for those people who are poor.
But just to underscore what you're saying, 600 people currently homeless in Grants Pass, they have one shelter. It can only handle 138 beds. Do the math.
Do the math. And what this is cities all over the West and all over the country are playing small ball. They're not solving the problem. They're just trying to move people out of their town by criminalizing them, threatening them with fines, threatening them with jail. Some of the history of Grants Pass was not too dissimilar to the history of San Luis Obispo. Grants Pass had been previously just having the police round up homeless people. They'd put them on a bus and give them a one-way bus ticket to another town. And even though they might have grown up there and gone to high school there. So this is a problem where criminalization does not provide any solution.
But as Justice Kavanaugh questioned, I love this quote. I think it's legitimate. Kavanaugh asked the attorney for Grants Pass, quote, when you get out of jail, what's going to happen then? You still don't have a bed available, so how does this help?
Yes.
Because you're homeless, so are you going to get arrested? Then you either pay your fine or you get out of jail. You're still homeless.
Well, and I think, you know, as I say, this was one of the most spirited discussions. I listened to proceedings of the Supreme Court from time to time here. And of course, this is a big month. There's a lot to listen to. We've had two cases that have come out about property rights and taking in the last couple of weeks. Justice Jackson was homeless as a little girl with her mother living in a car. And she was fairly passionate in her questioning. Justice Sotomayor pointed out that since the Magna Carta in English American law, the commons were where people went if they didn't have a home, and the commons are the sidewalks, the parks, the streets, the publicly owned properties, and that punishing them for being alive was cruel and unusual punishment, even before the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And now you still had you had good questions coming from many of the justices talking about, you know, what are cities and counties, what are they supposed to do, and how do they deal with these complex problems? And those are legitimate questions.
We're in conversation with Attorney Stu Jenkins. We appreciate his availability to react to the Supreme Court hearing. They haven't decided yet. That's not expected till June. Very important case, City of Grants Pass, Oregon versus Johnson. It's being called the most important Supreme Court case on the issue of homelessness in the last 40 years. More conversation and your phone calls still to come. This is AM 920, FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC. This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Attorney Stu Jenkins is in studio with me. We're looking at the case, City of Grants Pass, Oregon versus Johnson. By the way, who is Johnson? Do we know, Stu?
Johnson was one of the three homeless individuals who had sued in the federal court in Oregon. And the federal court had restrained the... I believe the federal court had restrained the City of Grants Pass, and the Court of Appeal, the Ninth Circuit, had upheld the injunction. And what the injunction did was it prevented the City of Grants Pass from enforcing an ordinance that required arrest, citation, fining, and jailing of repeat offenders for people who were sleeping with a blanket or camping. They defined it as camping, and they defined sleeping with a blanket as camping. And that was what the injunction did, and that's all that it did. In the meantime, the Biden administration actually intervened and sent an amicus.
Explain that, please.
A friend of the court.
Okay.
And there's actually a solicitor general by the name of Edwin Needler, Needler with a K, who argued. And the Biden administration didn't argue for the plaintiffs, and they didn't argue for the respondent city. They argued for making sure that there was a change in the injunction so that it allowed the city to regulate camping by time, place, and manner. But they still didn't want the status of homelessness to be punished. And the City of Grants Pass kept, their lawyer from Los Angeles kept arguing, we're not punishing a status of being homeless. We're punishing the act of camping. And so the argument of the plaintiffs was, no, what you're really doing here is punishing the status of not having a place to sleep or
exactly.
live
yeah.
or eat except out in public. And you know, when you look at the fact that there were 130 beds available for people to stay in, and over 600 people who didn't have any place to live, to eat or sleep, then effectively the folks, the plaintiffs, with their attorney from Washington, D.C., were arguing before the Supreme Court that this was a punishment of status along the lines of a case called Robinson. And that was a case where... a law had been passed in a state that made it a crime to be a drug
yeah.
addict.
Yeah.
It didn't punish the possession of the illegal substance. It didn't punish the use of the illegal substance. It punished being an addict, and you could be put in jail for the fact that you were an addict. It'd be like putting all the reformed alcoholics in jail for being alcoholics.
Hmm. I note that our lieutenant governor was actually at the Supreme Court listening to the arguments.
Well, it's a big deal in California. And in fact, California was cited in many of the arguments by the lawyer for Grants Pass, who was from Los Angeles. And, you know, you've had a big... previously, you had Jones versus Los Angeles, which was decided by the Ninth Circuit, where the Ninth Circuit basically said that Los Angeles could not have a ordinance that said it was a crime, a misdemeanor, to sit or stand on a sidewalk or sleep on a sidewalk or on a in a park. And again, that they had determined that that was a punishment of a status of being homeless on Skid Row. And that case got depublished because Los Angeles and the...
Depublished.
In other words, it couldn't be used as precedent.
I see.
In certain situations, I was able to use it in our case against the city of San Luis Obispo when it went all grapes of wrath on the homeless who were living in vehicles down on Prado Road. In exchange for that being depublished, the city of Los Angeles had to convert three or four warehouses in downtown Los Angeles into condominiums, and they let the plaintiffs, like several hundred of the folks who had been living homeless on Skid Row, have condominiums to live in, rent-free, with no compulsion to go to any kind of services like drug rehabilitation or Alcoholics Anonymous. And what they found was the city of San Luis ended up saving a huge amount of money every year on the cost of arresting people, having them in emergency rooms and in jails. And they found that, in fact, they had I forget the percentage, but it was something like 60% of the people who had this place to live suddenly decided on their own that if they had a drug problem or if they had a alcohol problem or a mental health problem, that they would sign up for services without being compelled. And then they started getting jobs, and then they were able to get homes of their own.
Attorney Stu Jenkins on this broadcast talking about the Supreme Court case. And we should underscore the fact that people can go online and they can hear the oral argument of the Supreme Court. Anybody can hear this.
Anybody can hear it. And what you can do is you can go to the just Google the U.S. Supreme Court. And there is a link. If you scroll down, there's a link for current. If there's an oral argument tomorrow, you can listen to it real time.
And aren't these all like 1 hour? So like a 1 hour limit?
Well, yeah, but they're not.
Okay.
I mean, there's a one-hour limit, but once the justices start asking questions, they have control over the time.
I see. On the Stolberg text line, if the Supreme Court allows cities and counties to make it illegal to live on public property, cities and counties will have to make concessions to private landowners who want to host homeless. I was just forced by county code enforcement to evict three homeless families in RVs I was hosting on my own property. They were provided water, sewer, and electric, which they helped pay for.
You know, that's an interesting comment. There is a federal statute that forbids your exercise of religion through zoning or building codes and that sort of thing. And it is almost never enforced, but if you are providing, if you are feeding people on your property because that's your religious ethic, if you are housing people on your property because that's your religious ethic, this particular federal statute overrides these local ordinances. And it has rarely been used in this state. And what it, you know, most of the folks think that it only applies to churches or synagogues or mosques, but it doesn't. It actually applies to everybody.
Also pointing out, as I mentioned before the last break, this decision, whatever it is expected in June.
Yes. Yes, because... as we all know, justices of the Supreme Court work hard, and they need to have the summer off. And so they always adjourn in June, or at the latest, if they have really tough cases to decide or cases where they might get blowback, the first week of July.
Yeah. And then they're off until the first Monday in October.
They go hiking. Yeah. Yeah, they go camping.
I saw that movie. All right, Stu Jenkins is here. We got news, traffic, weather. We'll talk more about the city of Grants Pass versus Johnson. Welcome your phone calls and your thoughts as well. This is Hometown Radio. All right, Craig, thank you. We are in conversation with Attorney Stu Jenkins, getting his reaction and his understanding of the Supreme Court case that was heard yesterday, as Stu's been explaining. No final decision is expected before June. This is the city of Grants Pass, Oregon, versus Johnson, being called the most important Supreme Court case on the homeless issue of the last 40 years. A lot of people calling in. Let's go to the phones. We start with Beverly on KVEC. Hi, Beverly.
Yeah, thank you so much for this important subject matter. I'm wondering why in Grants Pass, I mean, there are about 600 homeless and many, many churches. I mean, it seems like if the other places of worship with many of them there would just open up their churches, temples, etc., that we can kind of resolve the problem up there. I mean, there, you know, I looked up the population, the many churches, and I'm not quite sure why that doesn't happen. I was hoping maybe somebody could help me out with that.
I'm not sure Stuart nor I are homeless experts.
I certainly don't know why that would be, but I have a sense that most of the churches, they have a governing board, and they frequently don't want to get crosswise with the city authorities, even though there's a federal statute that gives them carte blanche.
Yeah, I realize that. I'm just wondering why that is. I mean, it would seem like it would be a loving, caring thing to open up, you know, your place and so I guess
that's a great question,
what I'm just
Beverly.
Hoping for.
Certainly a legitimate question, but sorry, we don't have the answer. Thanks for listening. 805-543-8830. Dirk's in San Luis. Hey, Dirk.
You know what? I was calling about something else, but I can give that lady kind of an answer. Okay. I've been a long time homeless, 20 years here in San Luis Obispo, decades down in San Luis or down in San Diego, around the Catholic churches and all this other thing. I've been a student of religion. I'll tell you why these churches don't do more. Like the San Diego Diocese, where I came from, is fighting off bankruptcy suits for their child exploiting cases. It was all about their public image management and virtue signaling. They don't really give a hoot about the homeless either. They've got tons of real estate, and it's all, like I say, it's all about their public image management campaigns. But I digress. What I wanted to say was, like I say, long-time homeless, and I've gotten a few of those illegal camping tickets over my decades. Not very many of them, but not a few.
Yeah.
When I go to court, I just tell them, send me to jail. This is not going to be illegal as far as I'm concerned for just sleeping, doing what everybody else does. This is a hot button issue. I don't proactively go out and seek out people in the community. It's the other way around. People exploiting me, opportunistically exploiting me for my homeless status. They don't think I have any rights and this, that, and other. The bottom line of it is I'm getting old and I'm going to stand up to my rights. I'm going to defend myself and I'm going to defend my property. I don't care who you are, who you know. If you don't think I have any rights, you're going to be in for a surprise. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
All right, Dirk. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Dirk. That actually brings up something that one of the justices, I believe it was Justice Jackson, was talking with the lawyer for Grants Pass about. And what she said is, look, you've got this statute, but it only effectively criminalizes people who don't have a home, because we've got declarations from your police force that say that if they go find somebody with a blanket and they're sleeping, or they're, you know, they've got food with them and they're eating out in the public, and they're asked if they have a home, even though this ordinance says that that's a crime, they don't get arrested.
Hmm. We go to Scott in San Luis. Hi, Scott.
Hello, Dave. Hello, Stu.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
You know, I saw this story. Maybe you guys talked about it. I kind of missed the first segment, Dave, but About the gentleman that built the home on the freeway in Inglewood.
We haven't talked about that, no.
Yeah, he supposedly he has electricity, he has plumbing, he has doors, windows, front yard, right on the freeway. And, you know, it's he hasn't been asked to move. But I can imagine the liability, because whether he signed an agreement that it's there or he's maybe he's a past Caltrans worker, or he's homeless, but he built his house. And I, you know, the fact is it's federal property, and I don't know the statute on state, a city, state, county, federal property when it comes to homelessness. But I'm sure that this guy probably found a loophole. And I don't know if you heard about it, but
no.
If you want to comment.
Well, I haven't heard about it, so I don't have a comment, yeah. Scott.
Yeah, Scott, what about the Supreme Court? That's the topic.
I haven't heard the Supreme Court yet, so I'm just, you guys are filling me in with this info. I saw the snippets of it.
Right. Well, and if you want to listen to it, you don't have to listen to it live. If you go to the Supreme Court's website, they also have a button for audio, and so they have all the arguments of all the cases recorded, and you can listen to them after the fact.
There we go. All right, Scott, you have homework. Follow up, please. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Bill's in Napomo. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hi.
I just read an article this morning from the LA Times about this situation. They said that out of there were 700 plus homeless in Grants Pass, 130 were housed, and I got the impression from the LA Times article that it was a church that was housing them.
Yes.
Because people were complaining because of the restrictions of no animals and no sex and drugs and so on and so forth. So to answer that lady's question, yeah, I believe it was a church that reached out to them. Is that correct?
Yes. The only, well, Stu, you know more about this than I do.
You know, I really don't know all the details, but what I did gather from the argument was Grants Pass wants to send anybody who's homeless there, and their suggestion is that by making it a crime to be sleeping in public, that they're incentivizing people to go to this shelter, but the shelter's full.
Yeah, Bill, my understanding is that the only homeless shelter in Grants Pass is this program run by the church. You're right, no pets, no drugs, no alcohol, but they're also required to go to church twice a day.
Okay, and I don't have a problem with that. It's their right, and it's their privilege. I was an associate pastor in Rio Grande for 25 years, and myself and another associate from other churches oversaw the homeless situation for 25 years, and or the transient problem. And the situation was overwhelmingly they would come in and they had drug and alcohol problems. The mentally ill, they never came in because they were hiding somewhere out in the canyon. And typically, it was the drug and alcohol addicts that tried to take advantage of what we had to offer. And we had to start a database so that the churches wouldn't be ripped off. And that was our experience.
Well, there is a significant problem with drugs and alcohol and people who have fallen into that to where they cannot get work, they cannot do anything useful, and that's where some form of treatment needs to be compelled. But the fact is that there's plenty of folks who they don't want to come into a shelter. I represented a lot of them in 2012. They had an RV or a car to live in, like Justice Jackson had when her mother was homeless with her. And you know, those are folks who don't necessarily want to go into a shelter with drug addicts and alcoholics. and they feel more secure in their own vehicle.
So, Bill, given all the work that you've done with the homeless, what do you think of what Grants Pass is doing? Should we be arresting people just because they're homeless?
I think that's too simplistic of a question, Dave. You look at the history of what's been going on for 40 years, and Reagan had the solution in the 80s to build facilities and help the drug addicts in one facility, help the mentally ill in another, to help them get back into society. But the ACLU turned that down because they said it violated their civil rights.
Yeah.
And now,
yeah.
In COVID, we see that large cities had a problem, and they built, like your guest said, they built warehouses and such. And the problem is a lot of people don't want to take advantage of that.
Yeah, but Bill, it may be a simplistic question, my friend, but you're avoiding an answer. And my question was pretty basic. In Grants Pass, okay. Their policy is to arrest someone if they're homeless. You okay with that?
Of course, no.
Okay.
Let's give some more context. The issue is, why are they homeless? And so what happened to the vagrancy laws? Because if they can't afford, or they, for some reason, they can't take care of themselves, and they live on the streets, and there are health issues, and there are crime issues that affect law-abiding citizens, then no, they should not be allowed to camp out in the streets and the parks. And they should a facility that can be built to take care of them, as Reagan tried to do 40 years ago.
Well, maybe
the majority of them do not want to take advantage of that.
Well, perhaps Grants Pass will follow Reagan's lead. Thanks for the call, Bill. Comment.
And I think Bill has some very good points. The reason that this is such a large problem is that, you know, do you have a right to be homeless? No. Do you have a right to live, though? Yes. And if there's no place to go, the only place you can live is out in public. The small ball is to simply criminalize these folks and try to drive them out of town, which is what so many of our municipalities have attempted over the years.
Including us.
Including San Luis Obispo. But what's missing? And Bill actually had his finger on what's missing. A place to go. And that there are people who, if there is a place to go, the cases before this have said, if there's a place to go, then a city can compel people to go there. And so, yes, you probably should have a place to go for those who are mentally ill, where they can be treated. Yes, you should have a place to go that's run by the city or the county, for people who have drug and alcohol problems and can be rehabilitated there and receive the services. And you need a place to go for folks who just are poor and don't have a home, particularly if they have a family. In 2012, when we brought the case against the city, Mr. Rizzo and I, 10% of the children in our public schools were homeless in this area. So what we found was that the city was trying to criminalize people in RVs who had three kids who were in school. One of the parents might have some small jobs and was working, and yet they had no money to rent.
Let's take some more calls. Here's North County Jim on KVEC. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hello, David.
Hi, Jim.
It's really... they're going to overturn it. It's anti-constitutional. There was a case in Idaho, in Boise, Idaho with the Ninth Circuit that ruled that it was unusual punishment and prohibits the imposition of criminal penalties for sitting or sleeping outside.
That's correct, and that's being challenged.
Who do not have access to shelter. So it's just going to be overturned. And obviously, well, you know, Grand Junction is 40,000 people. It's not exactly a small town.
And you know more about Grants Pass than I do.
Grants Pass, yes.
Yeah. But no, as a matter of fact, you're right. The Boise case is the case that has been governing at least all the Western states since it was decided. And this case in Grants Pass is essentially challenging that ruling that said it, you cannot pass an ordinance by a city or a county or even a state that punishes the status of being homeless.
Right. And it's in the Constitution. I mean, I think it's the responsibility of citizens to do what's necessary to help the people that are deprived of any shelter or other circumstances. But unfortunately, politicians are not the general public. And I know this is subject only, you know, referring to the Supreme Court and Oregon, but we got to keep in mind that $24 billion has been squandered in California for the homeless situation. So that's a subject on its own case. And although Ms. Jackson is a Supreme Court judge, I don't really have much. I mean, she can say what she can say about her life, but when I saw that interview, when she was asked what a woman was and refused to answer, though, that's how I lost respect for that particular person.
Well, that could be a whole other subject.
We're getting off subject there.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Jim. Thank you. We got Jeff in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hi, how are you folks?
Good.
Would it be safe to say that the folks that we see in this day and age that are out on the streets are severely suffering from addiction of either alcohol, fentanyl, methamphetamine, pills, something or other?
Some are.
And I think the other reality is that those are the folks that are more visible.
Yeah.
There's a lot of folks who are not suffering from that who you aren't going to see. They're laying low.
Jeff?
In the creeks, in the mountains, kind of hiding out and spending their money scarcely, would you say?
Yeah. There is that. So
where are you going, Jeff?
Well, here's where I'm going. Our homeless population, and people are talking about it more and more, because there is money that has been thrown out there to try to get a grip on it and take care of it, yet this money, whether it be towards finding homes for seniors and veterans, or if it's for fighting the drug addiction, it never actually gets to that recipient. It just gets tied up and held, and then after a proper amount of time, they just put it in the general fund. I've watched this kind of stuff take place. Well, and I think they're doing it because if the problem gets fixed, they can't ask for more money. They just continue to ask for more and more and more, and the problem gets worse.
I think there is a problem with how the funds that are intended to go to try to remediate the homeless problem and the problem that people have not having a house, I think there is a real problem with how it's been spent and how the management has been. I will point out that the city of San Luis Obispo, I believe, is making grants in exactly the same amount of money in 2024 to various nonprofits to help the homeless that it was making in 2012.
Mm. Jeff, thanks for the call. We go to Randy on KVEC. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Randy.
I remember 50 years ago, there was no homeless. You should go anywhere and camp anywhere you wanted in the world. Things changed so drastically. It's ridiculous, and I'm sorry for that.
Yeah.
Thank God I'm not homeless anymore.
So what about what they're trying to do up in Oregon? Are you in favor of that?
I think people should be able to camp out every damn place they want if they're not bothering anybody. I really do. Because I didn't. And we all used to park by the side of the road. Do you remember 50 years ago? You could just camp anywhere. Nobody cared. You could have bars on the beach and everything.
Happily, I can say I can kind of remember 50 years ago. Stories I've been told. Well, comments, Stu?
Well, I remember when you could drink out of a stream. But no, it's true. And part of it, Randy, there were a lot fewer people. So we have a lot more density. You know, in Paso Robles, there used to be a big oak tree in the middle of Spring Street. And people could just drive around it, but there wasn't that much traffic. I think part of this is we have a lot more density, and so we're starting to bump up against each other. But yes, once upon a time, you could just go camp out in the fields, and nobody would bother you, and you wouldn't bother them.
Randy, thank you for calling in. We'll come back for our final segment with Mr. Stu Jenkins. I'm Dave Congleton. We're live, we're local, we're hometown. So, Stu Jenkins, I guess I'm not allowed to ask you what prediction you would make about how the Supreme Court's going to rule.
I don't have a prediction. I think if you listen to the arguments, you're going to see that Justice Gorsuch, Roberts, Kavanaugh, and Alito, and Jackson, and Sotomayor, and Kagan all ask very intuitive questions. I mean, you've got Alito asking how adding time, place, and manner would be any different and keep a city from just putting people in jail and then having them released for being homeless.
So in the 1 minute we have, what are the implications if this is upheld for California?
The implications is that you're going to have cities and counties all over the state trying to criminalize living by people who are homeless, and they're going to... they're going to be playing small ball because it's easy.
Yeah.
It's easy, and they can say we're doing something, and what's going to happen is folks will go to jail.
We're going to clog the courts. We're going to clog the jails.
You'd need to triple the number of state judges. You'd need to expand the jails, and the truth is then those folks are going to be released, and they'll still be homeless.
Yeah. I have faith. I think this is going to be struck down.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. Stu, always a pleasure. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your expertise. Appreciate your availability.
Good to chat with your listeners.
Off we go. We got news, traffic, weather in the final hour. Let's explore the growing challenge of bipolar illness. It's been quite the show here. More to come. You're listening to Hometown Radio.
The 920 KBEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kbec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111911.